Steve, two wins in a week, that really makes the promotion boost a lot more rosy.
Yeah, well, we can only affect each game as it comes, can't we? And we've affected today. I think I've just come into the press room and members of the press described it like a cup tie. I couldn't have probably described it better myself. It was two very, very committed sides. You know, Fleetwood side, I know a lot of the players personally at Fleetwood. They're never going to give an inch. But our players stood up to that physicality, and that stands as good stead for midweek. But we stood up to that physicality, and we didn't get bullied. We continued to try and play our football. I think they're only shot at probably serious effort and goal, they score, apart from huffing and puffing. And, you know, we missed two or three good chances to turn game over at half-time. We didn't take them, but we showed great tenacity in the second half, backed by just an outstanding support, outstanding. So it was a win on the pitch today and off the pitch, but ultimately nothing more than 3 points.
Best atmosphere of the season, would you say?
Yeah, I think so. I think the fans here have created some memorable times, haven't they? I think even pre-season here was special, wasn't it? You know, and but the atmosphere was electric, and to hear them and to hear the sound when we went in, you'd have thought there was 25,000 on the ground. It really was electric, and they're playing the part because they knew in second half we had total domination apart from the odd ball up the park. And they knew we had to be patient, they knew we had to keep playing, and they knew we had to be dogged. And quite genuinely, you couldn't wish for a young man. If Heineken developed footballers that tried hard and worked hard and had the best attitude, Heineken would have made Kieran Agard know his daddy.
It was a goal that came after sort of 10 minutes of real pressure as well, wasn't it? Even straight after half-time, basically. Just the pressure on that Fleetwood goal. You just sensed that was coming.
Yeah, well, but you know and I know, we've stood here many times and we've battered doors like that and not been able to get the breakthrough that we needed. And I don't think we got a lot today. You know, I think we got a lot of the 50-50s, and I think we had to walk through that, especially in the first half. But I reminded the players at half time that we had to work at it positively. We had to show that tenacity, that grit, because nobody has to tell him that Rotherham's got good players. No one has to tell him that Rotherham that we've got talented players. Our supporters know that this is the best talented squad we've got, but we need to, and I keep saying to them, we need to match that with the desire that that the very good teams have. Look at Barcelona. Look at the desire they have. Man United, why do they get so many late winners? Because they've got such a desire, and we didn't get a late winner, but we had a fantastic desire today, and proud of my players, but 3 points.
With Kieran, did you have to almost have a word with him at half-time just to say that, because obviously he was filling in for Daniel Nardiello after he was injured, did you almost try and take that pressure off his shoulders, or did you want him to have that pressure?
No, he's a young man that you have to give a little bit to, and I mean a little bit in his face. So he got a little bit, but we need more, and he always responds like that. I think I've seen him come up with goals a number of occasions now when I've said to him we need a little bit more, positively in your face, you know, reminding him how good he is, reminding him how sharp he can be, reminding him that he doesn't miss two chances in a row, and reminding him that he gets more stick than a lot of players at his football club, and with his attitude and his effort and his passion, he deserves to get the highest praise. And it was absolutely fantastic to hear the fans singing his name today.
And to see your celebration as well, Steve, there was a fair bit of relief, wasn't there, in that goal?
Well, I'll come in for a rub in the morning. I think I've gone that far. I think I've pulled two groins, two hamstrings, I've bust a knee.
That's what management does to you.
Yeah, well, that busts your head. But no, I think it's credit to the players, credit to the staff. You know, we work continually on passing the ball and moving the ball and being patient. And, you know, people can see that's hard to come into play in the last number of weeks. And we'll continue to try and put that into play on Tuesday. And all we can think about now is, as I just told the players, is about preparing properly for another big game against a team full of good players at Bradford.
You obviously got a lot of plaudits after the Exeter win, after the 4-1 win. Was this as good for you in similar ways, or did you see some other things from your side maybe today?
Well, it's a better win. I think Fleetwood, for me, are a better team than Exeter. But I can only judge that from afar, having played both twice. I think, you know, when you beat a Fleetwood team who come and go 4-4-2, one of the few teams to do that here, And I think, to be fair to Graham, he had to do that because defeat today said that they get ready for next season. So he came and had a go. He obviously psychologically get into his players, because I think the first 45 minutes today was like a boxing match. You know, I think the physicality of it was, there was late challenges, there was, I think they possibly should have a player with a red card for punching it at Lee Frecklington. But over the piece, it wasn't about that. It was about effort and desire added to the huge ability that my players have got that win us the game.
What about Daniel Nardiello? Obviously, he had a frantic 3 minutes. He scored and then he was injured. What exactly happened there, Steve?
Well, he's just got the block. The guy's caught him. As Daniel struck, the guy's caught him. He's right in the middle of his shin. And Nard's just had an ache and a numb feeling in it and couldn't run it off. And normally with these things come, they come and go. I actually left the director's box to come down because I seen Alex Ravel overstretch his hamstring at one stage. So I left the box to come down thinking of Ravel. And I come down and within a minute, I've got Nardiello limping in front of me and them scoring a goal. Mm. So I quickly went back up, I can assure you. It wasn't good to be done. So, but we won't know with Daniel till tomorrow till he goes in. We'll obviously get him precautionary x-rayed and scanned, but we just don't know. We're in the lap of what that shows us.
You've got no prognosis whatsoever. Dennis Circuit hasn't been able to tell you anything in terms of what he's got?
Not other than Daniel's feeling it, you know, and he's... But we'll... The one thing about Dennis, he'll do it 100% right, and we'll know in the next 24 hours what the prognosis is. If he's with us, we need him. If he's not with us, we go without him, because there's nothing we can do. And we're only going to focus on positivity. We're not talking about anything that's negative. We've given that up. And if Daniel's no ways, we'll find a positive in there. We found a positive in the second half with Kieran's goal, because Daniel would be proud of that goal.
Mm. Is that where sort of Kieran needs to take off it if Daniel is missing for maybe the final three games, and sort of Kieran Agar stepping up to that plate?
Well, I think he's played. I think he's been excellent in the last two or three games we brought him in. You know, has Kieran done enough today to keep himself in the team for Tuesday at Bradford? I'm not so sure. But, you know, we might make some changes for Bradford. We might change the system. Got a lot of respect for what we'll face up there on the pitch, and no respect for what we'll face at Offaly.
Amazing results in League Two today. I mean, they were all going your way, really, right up until the last minute, when obviously Burton have got a last-minute winner at home. But it's back in your hands. Obviously, if you win all your games now, you're up in third place.
Well, we can't affect what Bolton Albion do. They've got a good manager. I go back to what I told a notorious Sheffield Star reporter on the first game of the season here. I told Les Payne that Bolton were a challenger for automatic promotion. Mm. He actually agreed with me that day, because he's seen what I've seen. So they've no let us down, have they? And they've added to the squad. So we can't affect what Bolton do. We can't affect what Cheltenham do, what Port Vale do. But results today have gone as they've gone in recent weeks. And just today we've taken advantage. We should have done it previous week.
It does make Tuesday night just seem absolutely huge. I mean, I know you've been saying these two games are the biggest games of the season, and obviously the next game will be now, but with it being a bit of a derby as well, with Bradford and their recent form as well, that it's got everything, hasn't it, on Tuesday night?
Well, I expected them to win at Chesterfield today, in all honesty. I think it's a draw, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
The next game is the most important one. It happens to be Bradford. You know, we could be playing Parkgate. The next game is the most important of the season, and we'll go there, we'll be very committed, we'll be very ambitious in our play. We won't go and sit in and put people behind the ball and wait and get them beat, but we'll also have to be very, very disciplined all over the pitch. Otherwise Bradford's got unbelievable players. People talk about us, who we've got here in our wage bill and all the various things. Have a look just next to Leeds and you see a club called Bradford City who's up there with the best. And just look at the players they recruited. I said back in the summer they were a real title threat, never mind a fight for playoffs or whatever it is, or automatics. I said they were a title threat. That's the strength of the squad they've signed.
Does it make it any bit bigger by the fact that other teams around you aren't playing, and the fact that if you do win, you do go third? Is a psychological boost ahead of that final week of the season?
No, I don't think so. And the reason I don't think so is we can't affect even if they were all playing. You know, we can't affect what happens today. It was, you know, I had my little chat afterwards like we do, and Paul Rayner, and then right away the players are saying what was the results like, and I can tell there's nobody walking out disappointed that Bolton Albion got a late winner. They're looking at the results as in general terms, and they're thinking two or three, four results have gone for us today, and there would have been a lot of people around the country today looking at the television or listening to BBC at half time and saying, well, Rotherham are not going to deal with that again today, and you know, we've come into form at exactly the right time.
I was just going to say that. It's a bit of a cliche, isn't it? But you are hitting form at the perfect time of the season now. And are you, would you say maybe your best performances of the season?
In terms of everything, yes. You know, I think we're playing today. And we're mixing, we're playing the ugly side of football, which is you need to go and compete. We're known as, you know, people that don't see us think it's rather than play long ball. The people in the league everywhere we meet talk about the quality of the football when we play. And there's always been that question mark whether we've got that tata steel inside our guts. And the last couple of games, the players have showed they've got some steel when they're up for a fight. And where we go in the next three games, we go. But we can only concentrate on Bradford City. And I'll repeat, players I have enormous respect for and I have respect for nothing else about them.